Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
By the way, speaking of friends of the show, as we were with Dave Parker,
mm-hmm.
going to Cooperstown, Kreskin.
Yeah, that was yesterday.
Kreskin.
Yeah.
Did he know? Yes.
Yeah, well, I was here for one, and did you do it two other times without me?
I think maybe.
Yeah.
Once at the art gallery. I did a show from the. Were you at that one? I did a show from inside the art gallery and talked to Kreskin from, like, they had the sports exhibit.
Yeah, I was there for that.
You were?
Maybe that's the time I talked to Kreskin.
Maybe it is.
I remember being there for that. Yeah.
Oh, it's a terrible loss.
Yeah.
I really. Mean like he was really fun to have on.
Yeah.
Connect with.
I know. Yeah.
It just got weird every time. Kreskin.
That's to be expected.
That's what Letterman loved about it. Just got weird every time. You're back. Anytime you want to come back, you're back. We'll have you.
Right.
Joe Ostrowski. Not sure I ever heard Kreskin on BetQL Daily. maybe it was about to happen.
Well, you can't really bring mind readers on to gambling shows.
Oh.
That's a
setup for all time, Joe.
That's a bad mix.
Yeah. Not interested.
Joe Ostrowski, BetQL Daily, weekdays on the Bet 1520 and the Odyssey app, and also Sundays before the NFL slate with Jason Locke and Fora.
Joe, before we get up and running here, let me just ask you. I'm getting DMs from your partner there, Sammy P. He's coming through town next Friday. What am I in for?
Drinking.
Okay.
Lots and more after that.
I'm familiar with that.
Is that official? He was telling me he was working on it. He might be able to do that on his travels.
I mean, we're not like, you know, specific dates, times, and place. Well, we got a date. Time, place, you know, TBD. So we'll see if it comes together. But it seems like he's like telling me to be ready. I think so. I'll get my boots on and I'll make sure I have my Lyft app ready to go.
It's a good idea. It'll be a good time. I will give you the heads up and he will fully admit this. Are you aware of the Irish goodbye?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So he's the king of the Irish.
Okay,
goodbye.
Fine.
So if you look around and you don't see him, no offense.
Yeah. No. I
use it often, including Will tonight at the holiday party, the work party.
I was sitting in here, Joe, just as like as we're getting ready to start the segment, I'm looking at my coat thinking, should I put my coat in my truck now so that I don't arouse suspicion when I walk through the party with it at, you know, 8 p.m. or something. Like, at least I'm just in my shirt and walk through, like, going to the men's room, bump, that's it, I'm gone.
I think the party's over at 8.
Oh, yeah?
I think it's 5 to 8. The party, Joe, you ever have this? Like,
party?
Well, we're in here until 7, and the party's at 5, and it's in the workplace. I mean,
yep.
We're the zoo animals, just walking by, waving and pointing, and which one is, you know? That's coming up later today for us.
I mean, really, do you have to stop by? They started in the middle of your show.
I like the party, but for half of it, at least, we're working. But I do like it.
Right.
I also like leaving it. Joe Ostrowski, Bills-Lions. One of the games of the year. The Bills have made a habit of losing the game of the year in the NFL season after season. You know, Bills-Rams was kind of that, 44-42. Now it's Detroit. And I've seen 1.5, now 2.5 last I looked for the Lions. What do you make of what the numbers look like? And a high total, highest in years.
Wow, yeah, this is going to close as the highest that we've seen. The highest probably since Bills-Chiefs a couple of years ago. 54.5, split between 54, 54.5. And the point spread is, 2.5 at most spots. One of the sharp offshore books that everybody copies. They're at 2, so I wonder if that's going to come down a little bit before we get to Sunday. But, yeah, I mean, you can't help but bring up what happened last week. And the Lions in a good spot with a little extra rest there. But, with the Rams, it was their A++++ performance. And you guys have probably gone over all the stats this week. But, you know, what I think of is watching the Lions a bunch, and the team that I pay closest attention to at least a couple of times a year, is their struggles with mobile quarterbacks. And a lot is made about the Lions and over the last few years, how much they cover the spread and how well they play in domes. And all of that is accurate. They have a great record indoors. You know who's really great on the turf? Your quarterback. That's what's scary, and I bring that up because Justin Fields. I mean, I saw this guy tear up that Lions defense for his time here in Chicago. I mean, there were 3 games where he rushed for over 100 yards all by himself. So I understand why the total's that high. I would not bet under in this game. And I like your Bills here to cover, and I think they can certainly win this game.
Ross Tucker is on with us on Tuesdays, and he said the same. He did Green Bay Detroit, and he's like, you guys don't even know how badly injured their defense is. Maybe it's a little better going into this game. I'm not even sure, but he's like, he kind of was their due to lose after beating Chicago by 3 and then
hanging on
Green
against
Bay.
Green Bay too. Yeah, right.
Yeah, last Thursday after that game, I'm blanking on where it was exactly. But if you go back to the preseason and we include the early season injuries based on what they had available on Thursday, it does sound like they'll have more, and maybe they were holding guys out a little bit so they are ready for this game. I don't know why you would do that in an AFC matchup, but it does sound like they will be healthier. But they were missing 10 defensive linemen last Thursday from where they were in training camp. 10. But they do have the depth where they were able to get by. Aaron Jones had 3 touchdowns in that game?
Jacobs did.
I believe. Or Jacobs.
Or no, wait. Movement. Yeah, Jacobs did.
Yeah.
Yep, he had 3.
Yeah. Around 70 yards. I thought they were going to end up running it more right at him, but they didn't. But that's what I expect to be the difference in the game, the rushing yards.
They shut out Jaden Reed. We all appreciate that on the last week of the fantasy football regular season for him to get a 0.0. In a 34-31 game.
And everybody was on him.
Yeah.
Everybody was betting those props.
Right? Yep. Joe Ostrowski with us. Are you dabbling, I would probably guess yes, in the futures markets, trying to predict what the playoff brackets will look like, or just so, you know, we're looking at schedules here. In Buffalo, it's now a 2-game deficit with Kansas City for the 1 seed with 4 to go. And so I know we've talked a little bit more about the sevens, the candidates around there, than we would have been last week. What can be done to try to take advantage of what the markets look like right now, if anything?
Yeah, so that's funny. On yesterday's show, myself and Sam had a conversation about just ranking dangerous playoff teams outside of the top 2 seeds in each conference, which, you know, we know in some order. But outside of that, who's dangerous? And we picked 3 teams, and we each landed on 3 different teams doing it independently. And it's interesting what different people think. Like, are you completely buying in to the Vikings, or are you being held back by Sam Darnold still after, you know, he's received some criticism and then 5 touchdowns, no interceptions last week, and a great coaching staff? I think that's interesting. So as far as like the NFC North, he ended up picking the Vikings, and then I land on the Packers. Or right now you would see a matchup in a 3-6 in the AFC. Don't know if this holds up, obviously, but the Chargers and the Steelers. Each of us picked a team from that matchup that could be dangerous in the playoffs, but he picked the Chargers, then I end up picking the Steelers. It kind of shows the separation of those top couple of teams and then everybody else. So the group of everybody else, they're probably going to have to take down both teams. In the AFC, you're probably going to have to take down both Buffalo and Kansas City in some order. AFC with the Eagles, assuming they don't fall apart here, and in Detroit. I think it ends up being chalky, but But yeah, certainly I've done some of that. On the AFC side, I don't really think that there's going to be someone that catches Denver. It's probably going to be Denver pitted in that seven spot in the AFC. I don't know that there's a lot of shuffling outside of division winners. And it's mostly about the NFC West, which we'll see tonight.
Does that mean you bet Denver to beat the Colts then? Like, would you play that with that in mind this week?
I didn't get there because the number is 4. But
okay.
Yeah, week to week, it's which Richardson is going to show up. Every single week, that's the conversation that you end up happening. But how can you not be impressed with Sean Payton? I brought them up, even though it's a rookie quarterback. Like, as far as dangerous matchups, going against Sean Payton, a rookie that stopped turning the ball over, and, of course, the incredible defense that they have. That's something that you don't want to run into early in the playoffs.
Do you like either Baltimore or Atlanta at about the same price, plus 180, to win their divisions?
No, because okay. I was saying Bucks a few weeks back when they were about 3-1 and looking at the schedule, and then it's fallen exactly how we were thinking. And the Bucks, the big favorite. I still think that they're a bit of an underrated team, so I like the Bucks there. And wait, what was the other one? I'm sorry.
Baltimore. 2 games back with another meeting with the Steelers coming up. Steelers have a rough schedule. Baltimore doesn't have it easy, exactly.
I've just come out this year and said I was dead wrong on Pittsburgh.
Right.
Made my adjustment. Like, look, I was wrong. And then this tough schedule that everybody was talking about, they beat Cleveland last week. They were supposed to be a lot better. Cincinnati, who they end the season with, they were supposed to be a lot better than they are. They can't stop anyone, and it's been impressive, especially what Arthur Smith has done offensively with that team and those quarterbacks.
Yeah, I've gone from, they're not going to win that division, Baltimore will track them down, to stop being tied with the Bills. I'd like some breathing room going in the last couple of weeks of the season, and if you, Pittsburgh, all of a sudden are going to be the team, not all of a sudden, they've been there all year, but if they're still going to be there in the rearview mirror or right next to me, that's going to be annoying.
Yeah. The back-to-back road games here, that's going to be difficult. But if they get through that, I mean, who knows? Who knows? Ending the season with Cincinnati, will there be a reason to play Burrow? I don't know. Probably not.
NFC West, Joe. We have Rams Niners tonight. Seattle has the lead there. Arizona took a big drop in their division chances with that loss to Seattle, now having lost twice to them. Anything you want to do with that division?
Oh man, what the numbers are saying, they're telling us that Arizona and San Francisco are not going to win. The win probability was 4%, but in this division anything can happen. So if San Francisco takes tonight and they're a 2.5 to 3 point favorite against the Rams, it feels like they'll be knocking the Rams out, right? And then we're gonna make a case, but I feel like everybody wants to do anything but pick Seattle.
Yeah.
And with what they've done since the bye, I know everybody's not paying attention, and maybe they're a bit of a boring team, but we're seeing the Michael McDonald effect here, right? He made some changes, especially with the linebackers on the bye, and since their bye, they've won 4 straight games. They're giving up only 15 points per game, and it's just Geno, stop turning the ball over in the red zone, and they're going to be fine. Kenneth Walker's out last week. That's okay. We have Charbonnet. So it might just be Seattle. That's the pick that I would make. But, I look at last week with San Francisco and Chicago, that being much more about Chicago not getting the coaching bump and the disaster that they have and unintended consequences. You fire Eberflus, so you lose everything with the strong defensive coaching that you did have. But, I do like San Francisco tonight, but as far as that, I'm buying what Seattle is doing right now.
Joe Ostrowski, one of the hosts of BetQL Daily on the Western Hotline with us here on WGR. Well, we had maybe the rare, maybe you could tell me how rare it is for an MVP candidate's team to lose, but his odds actually improve. That's what we got on Sunday. No surprise, given the game Allen had in a losing effort with 3 rushing touchdowns and 3 passing touchdowns.
Yeah, if you would have asked me a week ago, is it done? I would have said, no, it's done. We got too much football left. This is, no. Look at the odds. They were minus 150. And now they're minus 450, at least at BetMGM. And couple of other spots as well. And I agree with that move. That after the results, even though they did lose in that shootout, wasn't the quarterback's fault. He did everything he possibly could. He wasn't playing defense. And you know, so, you know, I agree. I understand that. And the second favorite is now a running back. And you could make the case that there is value for Lamar Jackson. You could find him at 14-1. But it feels week by week we're just eliminating names. Like Mahomes down to 40-1. Feels like he's been eliminated.
Wow.
And
12-1.
Yeah, 12-1 record, but look at the stats.
I know.
Not even close. And you brought this up a good month ago, and we talked about it as well. We're all right. I mean, the numbers weren't there, but as the season's gone on and these impressive performances, see, Allen's had those wow games, those wow moments. Saquon has. Lamar has. It hasn't happened with Mahomes. They find a way to keep winning games, but he hasn't had those monster statistical games.
No.
And I don't know that Goff has. And then people remember that big interception game as well. So it feels like at most a three-player race. But, okay, let's say, I know you don't want to think about it, but what if the Lions win? Then does Goff get an extra boost?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see it.
Isn't four games left enough time to still be open to somebody else? You know, I think there's still four games here and things happen, you know, whether that's Goff or Barkley's
not
record.
Not the names we're talking about? Or
well, probably. I mean, obviously the field narrows as you go, but Mahomes' number is outrageous. I'm not betting it. I live in New York anyway. But 12-1, like my thinking on MVP all offseason was, you're going to have to be the one seed. I mean, one or two seeds, 10 years in a row. It's been a quarterback of a team that's been at the top of the standings or close. The two Jackson years were exactly that. And here's Mahomes, of all people.
Right.
The golden child, right? I mean, three Super Bowls already, and his team is 12-1, and he's nowhere near the top of that list. And Allen, I mean, last week was incredible for him. Greatest fantasy quarterback performance in history, but his stats, like, it's almost like last year with Jackson, where
they're not as good as you would think for the MVP. Like, if he wins it and maybe wins it as convincingly as Jackson did, maybe some of the same arguments that were used against Jackson with Allen could be used to criticize Allen winning for Jackson's advocacy, you know, like, because his stats are probably going to be better, maybe considerably so, and Allen's were, except for interceptions, of course, last year.
And then Lamar's going to likely be the five, right? Five or six seed.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to come into play. It's usually the one or two seed.
Right.
So that's part of it. And, yeah, it's a good starting point, but then you look at the numbers, okay, it's not close. And I feel like every week, you guys are probably talking about it every Monday. All right, Josh Allen has now done something only Otto Graham has done.
Yes.
He's the all-time franchise leader as far as touchdowns. It's one thing after another. So I do understand people that are willing to say that it's done, but I've just seen it too many times. At this time last year, it was DeMar Hamlin by a mile, right? In Flacco. What? He was 200-1, you know, 5-6 weeks to go. Crazy things do happen in this league. I don't know that it happens with MVP, with a guy that we've been waiting for it all to come together, for him to take the award.
Right, yeah. I mean, yeah, Otto Graham, and the week before that was touchdown reception without being credited with a reception.
Right.
And these are all like sort of signature plays, you know, like the diving at the pylon on that receiving touchdown. He had the 26-yard run on 4th-and-2 against Kansas City. Last week, I don't know if there's exactly a signature play from that game, but still 6 total touchdowns. I mean, it's just been, and these are all games that were in big national windows. The 4:25 window for the Chiefs game and this game last week against the Rams, and then, of course, the Niner game was the Sunday night game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know you're thinking about the Sabres a lot, Joe, and whether your playoff Sabres tickets are going to...
Well, not after the last hour, after what you guys are going to say about the... Well,
thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, Joe. We appreciate it.
Is there anything Belichick-related to bet on?
Yeah, there's a win total for North Carolina already.
Is there? What is it?
Because they know people are going to bet on it. Like, Colorado, North Carolina, they're the lead in college football. It is 6.5 for next season.
They're playing those teams?
No, but I'm just saying how much college has changed. Like, these are the teams that are interesting now.
Yeah, right.
That everybody's talking about. 6.5 is the number. You think it works?
Yeah, I think you were saying that maybe betting the over is a sucker bet.
I don't know. I don't know who's on the roster. I don't know who's on the roster that he's going to be going against. But what I've been hearing, what they've been selling today, is really interesting. Because you think about it, and you know, your sons are older than my son, but like there are a lot of dads that are going to be pushing their son to go play for Bill Belichick. Guys that think that they can play in the league, what they're pushing is this is going to be a professional operation. And they hire Michael Lombardi as a general manager. He's going to be, instead of the pro scout or the college scout, he's going to be the high school scout and work in the transfer portal. Dabo Swinney, always at the top in the ACC, has no interest in the transfer portal. And with the NIL world, I think it's interesting on another a number of levels, and one of them is he kind of gave up on the all-time record for wins by signing that five-year contract, which is fascinating. I think it's cool for him and Lombardi. They're obviously both going to be working with their sons. I wasn't sure early on. My first reaction was, I don't know if it's going to work. He's not going to want to deal with boosters and all that crap. But the more that I think about it, if you want to play in the pros, you get a jump start on everybody else. And I heard Tomlin actually on with McAfee. I caught him for a minute today. And they asked him the question about it, about drafting players from North Carolina. He's like, you know what? My son played college ball a little bit ago. I'd send him there in a heartbeat. And, yeah, there's a good chance that we're going to be looking at North Carolina players a lot harder because of the way that they're going to be coached for a few years.
Really interesting story. Joe, good luck in Week 15. Any questions for us before we let you go? Maybe not.
No.
All right.
I think we're good. Good luck with Panionovich.
Yes. More ways than one.
Next week. Yeah,
thanks,
right.
Joe.
Yes.
Joe Ostrowski is the co-host of BetQL Daily on the Odyssey app and the Bet 1520 each weekday morning and on Sunday mornings before kickoff as well with Jason Lockenfora. 803-0550 to join us. Joe is correct. We spent a lot of the first hour on the Sabres. It's 8 losses in a row. Is it over already again so early? And just trying to, again, futilely, or maybe not. Maybe we think we know, but for a decade, it seems like we've been trying to figure out root causes. And I don't know. What's Occam's razor? The simplest solution? The simplest theory is the right one?
Right.
Sal Capaccio coming up at 5. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
Going back to my rookie season, I got hurt. I missed a few games. And I felt like sometimes that rookie wall, which is real, when you miss time and you come back, you're just so rejuvenated. And silver lining, it could be a good thing, right? Where he got to sit back and learn and watch Coop and actually get his body right and be fresh going into this final stretch. So hopefully we can get him back on that field soon and help us out.
Josh Allen on Keon Coleman. Things are looking good for Coleman and Dalton Kincaid in advance of Bills-Lions Sunday 425. Coop. That's the first Coop I've heard.
Same here.
Original Coop. Who's the all-time Coop? D.B. Cooper?
Yeah.
Is that the name?
Yeah.
Guy who was like... Mystery man?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Pat Cooper? Genius comedian? Pat Cooper?
Not familiar.
No? You need to be.
No.
You need to acquaint yourself with Pat Cooper.
Don't tell me what I need.
Cecil Cooper?
We don't know. Honest to God, Cecil Cooper was the first Cooper I thought of when you said it. I should have just said Cecil, but I...
Cecil Cooper. Anderson Cooper?
Whoever the hockey equipment manufacturer was named after is the all-time Cooper.
Gord
Sinclair Cooper. No.
How important will it be, just a sort of a broad prediction here, to resign Cooper? What's that going to sound like? Does it depend on what happens still? If he gets hurt, I'm sorry for doing this way. If all the information on Cooper you already had, is he a priority? How high a priority is he?
I'm going to say not high. I don't know. I don't know how readily available a replacement for him will be, but a key element of him standing out amongst the wide receivers who were thought to be available for trade and turned out were, was that he was on an expiring contract. I don't think I want to... let's see how it goes, and then let's see what it costs. But at 31 years of age, how old will he be?
31 in June.
Okay. So 31 for next season. I don't know. This is the Diggs conversation to an extent. Like, how much further do I want to go? And in this case, we'd be talking about, you know, retaining this player on a new contract, multi-year contract. Is that $25 million a year for him? He's not like at the top of the class, but he's a number one wideout. I mean, it's kind of he had a top of market contract when he signed it the last time. I don't think he still belongs there, but still, 25 is not the top of the market in free agent receiver season. Might be $35 million. I mean, I don't know what it's
going to
be.
It'll be Chase.
Yeah. So I would say buyer beware. Like, I like Cooper. I'm glad he's here, and I expect him to pay off for them to sign. I don't know, he's going to win the Super Bowl, but he's going to make that happen for them. But I think he should matter for them in these four games in the playoffs. And I want to be careful to not let what happens there. Like, if he just goes off and catches six or seven passes a game in the playoffs and the Bills win the Super Bowl, and then they want to give him a 4-year, $80 million contract, I'm just be like, I don't think that's a great idea. He's 31 years old. Like, thanks.
If that happens, you're going to love it.
Thanks for all of that. Right. Because I also wanted, like, all the Red Sox who won the World Series in 04 to be on the team until they
forever.
Until they died. Like, I was willing to watch them literally die in right field. Trot Nixon, oh, look, he's 65 years old, still out there. Yeah, well, Bulldog wanted it. I don't know. I don't think I'll love it. I want to try to be, you know, smart about this moving forward and not let sentimentality get in the way. It's hard. It's very hard for me. You know how hard that kind of thing is. I'm an emotional dude. You're the numbers. I'm the gut. But I'm not eager to re-sign Cooper.
That'll be fun.
Sitting here right now, I'm not eager for it.
If they win it and that happens, and you'll be all like, this is terrible. And it just fans are just going to line up to throw haymakers. Can't you just enjoy it?
Right. What's wrong with you?
What? Can't you just enjoy this? Why the one so first championship of our lives?
Damaged. I'll be enjoying it. I don't think I want to sign a 31-year-old receiver to a multi-year contract.
Could sound like Watkins sounded, where everybody was just sort of giddy, and you're like, this is terrible. Why did they? This is a terrible idea. What are you trading multiple firsts for a receiver in a great receiver class? Like, oh, can't you just enjoy
with no life? Quarterback, by the way.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Cooper is maybe a microcosm of the whole receiver, like the whole mandate for this year in a way that, well, that maybe that's not the right way to put it. It's, have we decided yet that the Bills are better off without, you know, a clear wide receiver one? No offense to Shakir or even, you know, whatever Cooper is. Like, is it already settled that this worked? Not for me, because what it's about is the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes it challenging is when you're talking about like one game or even three or four games, just how small a sample that is and what other variables go in. Because I, you know, you have teams like Philadelphia, the sort of a classic wide receiver one, wide receiver two, that's it. Kind of, they also have Barkley, makes that easier, but still, like, they were really good already. So it's not like this is the only way to fly. And the Bills made this move this year. It is working out very well. They look like the best team in the conference, if not the NFL. I mean, that's about as good as you can do. But it still, for me, will be about, in the playoffs, do they have one or two guys that you can trust? That they'll get open and they'll make the play and you'll be fine. And Shakir is really reliable, but you don't have touchdowns. You don't have the ceiling on a guy like that. The floor is high, the ceiling is pretty low. There you have Hollins, who makes the occasional play, leads them in touchdown receptions. What is that in the playoffs? Is that like, you know, 4 for 30 and a score, like he kind of gives you? Mm-hmm. And then you have, well, you have Cooper, 14 targets last week. You know, Cooper against the Rams had more air yards, meaning how far the ball traveled in the air on his plays, his targets, than any receiver in the league this year in any game. He's number one for the season, 247 or something like that from the Rams game. So that could be, you know, this is what, that was the idea with him.
Right. They were pushing it down the field to him on Sunday, so that makes sense. And then you've got Coleman mixed right in there too. And so what does that all, you know, amount to? Yeah, I think that's fair. Like, I liked this idea, I think, more than you, but I didn't love it either. I mean, I all along thought they would go get a number one. I guess I love it. I love that they reacted to not having the guy and went and got Cooper. They realized, like, okay, you know, it might make you think they wanted to do something else in the spring and couldn't find their way to the right fit or whatever. And, you know, Brandon Ayuk never got traded or whatever it was. They tried on not having a guy of that caliber and realized we were missing something, and they went and did something about it. So good on them. And I like where they are because of Shakir, and we'll see about Coleman. I've been saying for weeks here, I mean, he's been out. I felt like that was starting to come there. Chemistry with Allen and just trust and all that kind of stuff. So I hope that the injury didn't completely derail that, if it was on track to begin with. I feel like it was. So I like where they're at, but I can't tell you. If they need guys to make plays anything near the caliber of the plays that got made on them last Sunday in L.A. by Nacua and Kupp, I mean, good luck. Now, that's a very high standard, but that's what an elite player can do for you. I mean, I trust that Allen can put the ball anywhere you want, just like Stafford can, but do I know that I've got guys that are going to, like, pull the act Nacua pulled on the Rams sideline on that one that I still can't believe his feet were in bounds on that play. I mean, that's elite. So, you know, if you need that, you might be in trouble. Like, hopefully you've got enough here in the collective, and Cooper at the front of it can make enough of a difference. You know, the game unfolded in such a way that they ended up with the 14 targets for Cooper in that game. I wonder if that wasn't like a little bit of a, let's see what happens if we do this.
A little bit, and they're also losing.
Right, that's what I meant. Game script sort of dictated that they were going to lean into it a little bit. But, you know, they also, I think it would make sense for them to find out what, you know, what happens to their offense if they feed him like that. And, I mean, they did have a tremendous day overall. And Cooper wasn't even the leading receiver in the game. Shakir was, as it turned out. So...
In yards or catches?
Both, I think.
Was he?
Yeah. Yeah, he had that long one and had the score. Well, the long one was the score. But yeah, I think Shakir... Oh, no, he might have had 5-4 whatever, and Cooper might have had 6.
6, I think is right. Yeah. 6 on 14.
Yeah. So maybe not in receptions, but yards was Shakir.
Okay. Sal Capaccio joins us in 20 minutes. He'll be in studio with us. We will have Mike's fresh picks. Oh, the pressure. Thursday night football, undefeated for the season on the prime games. Oh, I wish I'd not remembered that just now. No, I know who I like tonight. So we'll ride or die. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR. Welcome back. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with Sal Capaccio in studio coming up in about 15 minutes. 803-0550 is the number. Spend some time on the Sabres' woes. Is there possibly a less appropriate word that's still right than woes? Woes just does not really get the message quite across. And we'll probably do some more of them next hour after talking to Sal. We have our work party tonight. It's our version of it. It's clients. People you hear advertising on the station and all the different Odyssey stations, and then, you know, everybody who works here. But no, it's not a plus one event.
No, that's right. No, no significant others.
And we do it right here because,
like, literally people... in this room. Yeah, it's going to get really noisy in here once 5 o'clock starts.
I bet you'll hear the commotion in the halls.
Yeah,
probably.
Mm.
But, you know, some places take their work party out, you know.
Right. Like, no, we bring it here.
We bring it here.
Well, you know, it's a radio station. There's tons of intrigue behind the scenes. Like, how do they do? How do they make the donuts over there?
What do they look like?
I want right. What do they look like? That's why I went with like my best flannel. Like you brought a change of clothes. You're dressing up. That's how. That's you. Like I don't want to put on airs to the clients. If they're using me to sell whatever it is, whatever business they're in, I want them to get the real me. This is me.
Okay.
So here I am. It's also an excuse to not, you know, bother having nice clothes.
Yes.
I mean, I'm wearing pants. I mean, I got jeans on. I mean, I did do that.
That's good of you.
I'm not just wearing my Dash's pants.
Dash's pants. Another team name for the future to file away.
Dash's pants.
It's time now for My Fresh Picks, brought to you by Umi Sushi and Seafood Buffet. Maybe we'll meet these people tonight. Oh, Empire Electric. I want to meet Empire Electric. Score. Sorry, Umi Sushi and Seafood Buffet. I butted another client in. Client's name's in the air. Dash's pants. Score big with Umi Sushi and Seafood Buffet, where every meal is a touchdown. We talked to Joe Ostrowski about playoff odds, and not so much odds this week as what you think might happen in the next few weeks, and then what can you do about it in terms of making a bet. And as we talked about earlier this week, maybe you've noticed, the playoff field is close to complete. Like, it's still possible that a Miami makes the playoffs, or who might it be on the other? It's not going to be Dallas anymore, but the Niners.
Atlanta, the Cardinals, the Niners are all 6-7.
Yeah, I mean, that might need to go through their division.
Mm-hmm.
It probably will.
And that's still attainable for them, for all of them, yeah. I think because, yeah, Tampa's leading that division at 7-6. So, I mean, Atlanta's only a game back.
So, thinking this way, I'm big on the underdog app, different fantasy drafts, and they, for a couple weeks now, have had their playoff drafts open. This is a snake draft, and it's best ball. So, whatever you do is what you do. There's no changing anything. There's no lineups. But you're drafting the best teams possible for the postseason. All the scoring is in the postseason. And the team to pick, well, you could say the same thing about Detroit or Philadelphia, but the Bills are it. Because with the Bills, you get a Super Bowl contender. You get a team that is believable as a team that will go all the way. And there's a very good chance they will have to play four games because of their being two games behind Kansas City. And you might need those points. You advance each week in this thing. So Allen, for me, is the 101 in that format. It's a little bit of a specific point here about that particular contest, but I love those contests. And it's still far enough away where I don't want to get too cute with teams like Atlanta or Indianapolis, you know? Like, bet on the teams that have the best chance to make it. And then you load up on those guys. And with the Bills, that's so easy to do because it might be Mac Hollins or Samuel or somebody like that who you'd pick at the end of these drafts are 10 rounds, six teams, 10 rounds. And so you might end up with four or five Bills you'd want to if you picked Allen. It's a long way to say, you know, maybe I'll see you over there. That's a really fun contest. I like San Francisco tonight. These are, you know, it's a great rivalry and their Niners are down. They have injuries. It's not been their year. The Rams are back in it with their win over the Bills. The Niners always beat the Rams. They didn't earlier this year, and that was weird. Like, that was the Niners game, and the Rams just ended up winning late. But Shanahan has kind of owned McVay in the playoffs, too, and San Fran at home here. I don't think you're not seeing it from how teams are playing it with their players. I think we're too far from the end for there to be like, all right, I'm checking out for a team like this. You know, a team like the Jets, maybe they just put Breece Hall on the shelf because there's nothing to play for. The Niners aren't at nothing to play for.
No, they're not. No.
Thursday night football, big rival.
What is the spread in that game?
It might be two.
Okay.
Somewhere around two. I don't. Whatever the number is, I'm on. Yeah. San Francisco's favored.
I don't want to infringe on Mike's fresh picks.
You should.
But if you, I mean, I'll make my pick now. If we're gonna pick this game, I'll take the Rams.
Okay. And I mentioned Breece Hall real quick. So there is a chance. There are eight teams in the league that are at three or two wins. Several teams here. Maybe it's happened with Trevor Lawrence. Like, just no reason to put him back on the field. Watch out if with Breece Hall, because in fantasy, like, come on, he was your first pick. And what? I get to the playoffs and I don't have him. That's just how fantasy goes, though. And you've got to be out there trying to find, well, the Isaac Garendos of the world. He seems like he'll play for San Francisco. With the Jets, it's a little bit less cut and dried than you'd want it to be with Hall out. Last week, Braylon Allen was next in line. Right from week one, they were using him. Then they backed off of that a little bit when they made the coaching change. He's been kind of an interesting handcuff-type running back. Last week against Miami.
Different guy.
Isaiah Davis.
Yeah, right. That's it.
Both rookies that they drafted. Super efficient organization when you have Breece Hall and you draft two more running backs the next year. But they really were almost a 50-50 split in usage in that game against the Dolphins. And Davis looked good in that game. So he's somebody that you might, if you have a roster spot, you might want to stash. He's tough to start because Allen is there. And you still might see Breece Hall. He didn't practice today, though, I know. They have Jacksonville this week. Great spot. If you knew if they had one guy that's going to get the ball 20 times, but right. It's kind of hard to know.
You don't, yeah. That Davis scored a receiving touchdown.
Yes,
I think, right?
So. Yeah. Yeah, against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
All right, Sal will join us after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.